Welcome back, everyone. Ready to dive into something a little different today?
Different, yeah, but way more interesting than you might think.
Okay, you got me intrigued.
Injection molding.
Okay, so we're talking about, like, how things are made.
Yeah, but we're focusing on, get this, budgeting for mold development.
Mold development, so, like, the actual molds that are used to make, well, everything plastic, right?
Exactly.
I'll be honest, it doesn't sound super exciting at first glance, but I do love learning about the behind the scenes of, well, basically how the world works.
Oh, it's fascinating. Trust me. Our source material is these excerpts from an article. It's actually called How Can You Budget Effectively for Mold Development in Injection Molding? Written by someone who actually does this stuff.
So we've got insider info.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so why should our listeners care about this, even if they, you know, aren't planning to become injection molding experts themselves?
Because it helps you appreciate the stuff around you, you know?
Yeah.
Like, understanding the process and the cost involved makes you look at everyday objects a little differently.
That's a good point.
And even, like, small decisions, like what type of steel to use in a mold, can have a huge impact on the entire budget.
Whoa, really?
Oh, yeah. And it all starts with the mold design phase, which, let's be real, can be a bit of a sticker shock moment for a lot of people.
Especially when you see those designer fees. The article mentioned a simple mold costing $2,500 for a junior designer, but a more complex one going for $44,000 for a senior design team. That's a huge jump.
It is.
So how do you know when you need the big guns, the seasoned pros, versus, well, someone who's just starting out?
It all depends, really, on how complex the design is and how much precision you need. Like, if you need a really intricate mold with tiny tolerances, then you definitely want to go with that senior team. Their expertise is, like, worth its weight in gold.
Makes sense. But for simpler designs, a junior designer could be, like, the way to go, right?
Could be, yeah. Especially if budget's a concern, which it usually is.
Always is. And it's not just about the designer fees, is it? There's the software they use, the tools, all that adds up.
Oh, yeah, you're totally right. Our source actually said they almost had a heart attack when they saw how much some of the design software costs. Like, we're talking tens of thousands of dollars.
Oof, that's a lot of dough. But the article did mention renting software can be an option, right?
Renting, yeah. Especially if you're a smaller company or a startup and don't need all the fancy features all the time, renting can save you a ton.
Gotta be smart about it, for sure. Now, what about those little hidden costs, the ones that kind of sneak up on you? Like those review meetings and client communication and all the back and forth and revisions. Those gotta add up, right?
Oh, totally. They even mentioned internal review meetings costing something like $13,500.
Wow.
Which sounds crazy, but it shows how important it is to actually review the designs carefully to catch any mistakes early on.
So it's kind of like an investment, right? Spend the money up front to avoid bigger problems later.
Exactly. Be proactive, not reactive. And speaking of proactive, let's move on to the next stage, which is choosing the right materials and equipment. This is where things get really interesting.
Okay, I'm ready. Let's get into it. It's like every choice impacts the next and then the next and the next.
Yeah, totally. And I think a lot of people get caught up in just looking at the initial cost, like how much material costs up front, without thinking about the bigger picture.
Right. Short-term thinking, not long-term.
Exactly. And that can really backfire. Our source used this great analogy, like comparing it to buying a cheap umbrella.
Okay.
Like, sure, it might be fine for a light drizzle, but the first real storm, it just falls apart. You end up buying a new one over and over again.
So you're saying it's better to invest in a really good umbrella right off the bat.
Right. And that's the same idea with mold materials. Sometimes spending a little more upfront can save you a ton of money and hassle later on.
So, like, choosing mold steel over something cheaper?
Mold steel, yeah. It's more durable, lasts longer. I remember the article had some numbers, like mold steel costing between $10 and $50 per kilogram.
Per kilogram, okay.
And then something called hot work steel, which is more specialized, could be like $30 to $100 per kilogram.
Double or even triple the price.
Yeah. But if that mold steel lasts, say, twice as long, you're saving money on replacements and not having to stop production all the time.
Makes sense. But how do you even know which material is the right one for a project? Is there like a cheat sheet somewhere?
I wish. It's not that simple. But you got to think about what the mold's going to be used for, how precise it needs to be, how many things are going to be made with it. Like, if you're planning to make thousands and thousands of parts and they need to be super accurate, then investing in a durable material like that mold steel is usually the way to go.
So talking to an expert is probably a good idea, like a materials engineer or someone who really knows injection molding.
Oh, for sure. They can help figure out the specifics, recommend the right stuff. It's worth the investment to get that advice.
And speaking of investment, earlier we were talking about how spending more on high-tech machinery can sometimes be more cost-effective overall. I'm curious to dig into that a bit more.
All right, so imagine this. You want to build a bookshelf, you could use a hammer and nails, right?
The old school way.
Yeah, or you could use a nail gun.
Much faster.
Way faster. And more precise. You're probably going to be less sore the next day, too.
Definitely a plus. But a nail gun costs more than a hammer.
It does, up front. But it gets the job done quicker, with less effort. Same idea with injection molding equipment.
Okay, so spending more upfront for that fancy equipment could mean lower labor costs and faster production. So in the end, you actually save money.
Exactly. Now, to get specific, the article mentioned some hourly rates for different types of equipment.
I remember that. CNC machining was around $200 per hour, right?
Yep, CNC.
Yeah.
It's all computer controlled, super precise, way more expensive than using like old manual methods, but also way more accurate and efficient.
So you're paying for that precision and speed. EDM processing was even pricier, I think. Something like $300 per hour.
That's right, EDM. It's a totally different process using electrical discharges to shape the mold. Very high tech, needs skilled people to operate it, so it costs more.
Makes sense.
And then there's wire cutting, which is cheaper, about $150 an hour, but it's not the right method for every type of mold.
So many factors to consider. It's about picking the right tool for the job, right? But even with the best equipment and materials, we can't forget about those design software costs and client communication costs we were talking about earlier.
You're absolutely right. They don't just disappear. They're part of this phase too.
Yeah.
Everything's connected, which is why budgeting has to be a big picture thing.
And speaking of connected, the next stage, mold commissioning and trial molding, is where all those decisions come together, right? It's where the idea becomes a real physical thing. But I imagine that comes with its own set of challenges, budget-wise.
Oh, definitely. This is where you're actually making the mold, testing it out. Mm-hmm. It can be pretty nerve-wracking, especially when you're trying to stay on budget.
The article had that funny story about the author calculating how much material they needed for those test runs. Like getting down to the nitty-gritty.
Totally. They said a 5-trial batch cost them 250 yuan.
Which isn't a lot, but it adds up, especially when you're doing multiple rounds of tests and adjustments.
Right. And then you have the cost of actually running those trials on the injection molding machines themselves. The article mentioned the machines costing 300 yuan per hour. So yeah. 5 trials, each taking a couple of hours, that's another 3,000 yuan.
Wow, the costs are really starting to stack up. And I think they also mentioned something about personnel costs during the phase.
You're right, personnel.
Yeah.
Having skilled technicians there, overseeing the trials, fixing any problems that pop up, that's essential. Mm-hmm. They actually budgeted 2,400 yuan for 3 days of an expert to help with debugging.
Because when you're dealing with this kind of specialized equipment and tight deadlines, you don't want to mess around.
Nope, definitely not. But even when you've got all that sorted, there's still one more crucial element. Quality testing.
Quality testing. It feels like one of those things that gets overlooked, but it's got to be so important.
It is. It's an investment that can save you a ton of headaches and money later on.
And they mentioned using CMMs, those coordinate measuring machines, to check the mold's precision and make sure the surface is good quality. Like super precise 3D scanners.
Yes, like. That's it. And CMM testing can cost around 500 yuan per hour, but finding a problem now is way cheaper than dealing with messed up products down the line.
Catch it early, fix it early. I like that.
Absolutely.
And speaking of catching things early, we can't forget about transportation. The article talked about how something as simple as fuel prices going up can impact shipping costs.
Oh, yeah. That's something people don't always think about.
Seems like it'd be out of your control, but there are ways to be strategic about it, right?
Definitely. Transportation's not just about finding the cheapest option. You got to factor in logistics, timing, even whether you're shipping by air, sea, or land. All those things affect cost and whether the mold actually gets there on time.
And there was that story about getting hit with unexpected import taxes and fees when shipping a mold internationally. Oof. That's got
to
hurt.
Yeah, it's a good reminder to really do your research and factor in all those potential costs.
It's another piece of the puzzle, isn't it?
It is. And sometimes it might even make sense to look for suppliers closer to home, even if they cost a little more up front, just to avoid those international shipping surprises.
So transportation, yet another thing to consider. This whole conversation has really highlighted how every single decision, from design to materials, equipment, even shipping, it all affects the final cost of making a mold.
You got it. It's all interconnected.
Yeah.
That's why having a solid plan and a strategic approach to budgeting is so crucial.
Which brings us to the big question. How do you actually reduce costs without sacrificing quality? Is it even possible?
Good news it is. And the article actually had some great tips. But first, we got to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back with more insights on how to master the art of injection molding budgeting.
All right, we're back and I'm ready for those cost-saving tips. Because honestly, after all this, it seems like a real balancing act, keeping those costs down, but still, you know, making a good quality mold.
It is, kind of like juggling chainsaws.
Mm.
But the article had some solid strategies. It all starts with the design phase, that first step.
Right, back to where we started.
Yeah. Remember how we talked about junior designers versus those senior design teams and that huge difference in cost?
Yeah, like thousands of dollars difference.
Exactly. That's where smart planning and budgeting really comes in.
So you don't always need to go for the most experienced, most expensive option.
Right. Got to figure out if you really need that top tier expertise or if someone less experienced can handle it.
And then the same thinking applies to choosing materials, right?
Yep. That cheaper option might be tempting, but what if it wears out faster? Then you got to replace it sooner, and that ends up costing more in the long run.
Like that mold steel versus hot work steel thing.
Exactly. Think long term, not just about what's cheapest right now.
Got it. So it's about thinking strategically, right?
Yes. And same with the equipment. Investing in those high-tech machines might seem like a lot up front, but if it makes things faster, less errors, less downtime, it can actually save money over time.
So it's not just about cutting costs, it's about spending smarter.
Exactly. And here's another smart move, outsourcing.
Outsourcing.
Think about it. You might not have all the expertise for every single step of this process right there in your company.
Right.
So instead of trying to do it all, why not find experts and have them handle those specialized tasks?
So focus on what you're good at and let the experts handle the rest.
Exactly. Like building a dream team.
Love that. And what about technology? I feel like that's got to play a role too in terms of saving money.
Huge role. The article is big on using automation and software to make things more efficient and minimize errors.
Makes sense. I mean, humans make mistakes.
All the time.
But computers, if they're programmed right, they can do things perfectly over and over again.
Exactly. So investing in that tech, even if it costs more at the beginning, can pay off big time because you're preventing mistakes, speeding things up, and making everything more consistent.
Working smarter, not harder.
Exactly. And that leads us to the last big strategy, continuous improvement. Always be looking for woes to do things better.
I like that. Never settle. Always striving.
That's it. The author talked about brainstorming with their team all the time, like, where are the bottlenecks? What's slowing us down? What can we do better? And they use something called lean manufacturing principles.
Lean manufacturing.
Yeah, it's all about cutting out waste, making sure everything you're doing actually adds value.
So always analyzing, always trying to find ways to improve.
Always. And even small changes over time, they add up to big savings.
It's a mindset, a commitment to getting better all the time.
You got it. And this whole conversation about budgeting and mold development, it really shows how much goes into making even the simplest things.
It's easy to forget, right? Like, we just use stuff. We don't really think about how it was made.
Yeah. So hopefully now our listeners have a little more appreciation for all the steps and decisions and, well, money that goes into it.
Totally. So if our listeners take away one thing from this deep dive, what should it be?
That there's no one right way to budget for mold development. Every project's different. You got to think about the design, the materials, the equipment, even shipping. And definitely don't forget about quality testing.
So many moving pieces.
It's like a giant puzzle putting it all together. But like we talked about, you can definitely keep costs down without sacrificing quality. It just takes some planning, some smart choices, and that willingness to always be looking for ways to do things better.
Well said. And on that note, we'll wrap up this deep dive. We've covered a lot of ground today.
Yeah.
From the nitty-gritty details of mold design to the big picture strategies for cost optimization. But before we sign off, I want to leave you with one final thought. Imagine how AI and machine learning, all that cutting-edge technology, could impact this process in the future. Could we use it to predict costs even more accurately, make better decisions about materials, even automate some of the quality control?
It's an exciting idea. It feels like we're just scratching the surface of what's possible.
Definitely. So keep those minds curious, keep exploring, and keep diving deep. We'll catch you next time for another deep dive into the world of who knows what.